We both had two babies. We were freelance before this, and we were moving in the kind of digital nomad space for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we had a baby.
And the brakes go on for everything.
Welcome to another episode of What She Said. This is the first proper episode in series 5, which is pretty exciting. In this episode, I chat to Frankie Thompson all about motherhood, how it's kind of derailed our careers and also built them. I'm going to put a trigger warning on it because we do talk about postnatal depression. So Frankie is a wonderful writer. She is a blogger. She blogs at As the Bird Flies. All about travel, Amsterdam, motherhood. She's written a series of short stories and fiction books also, and she writes poetry. She also has a wonderful wing of her business, which is kind of on hiatus at the moment, but it's called Right Now, it affirmation cards for writers, and they're just gorgeous. They're really, really beautiful, so I'd encourage you to go ahead and look at her stuff. If you liked this episode, I'd love it if we could continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find all our social handles in the show notes, but I'm Lucy Lucroft and Frankie is As the Bird Flies blog, so we're pretty easy to find. And you can, if you really want to, come over and support me on Patreon. My Patreons get a variety of benefits, most of which is this podcast early, so they've already listened to this episode without this waffle from me. So if you want to support me there, that would be amazing. I share sustainability tips every single day. I share musings, I answer questions, I create specific content for my patrons, and I film a monthly, at the moment it's just a monthly kind of behind the scenes, which started off at just me chatting to camera, but now I'm kind of making it into a bit of a vlog, so you get snippets of my life and my family and all the rest of it. Anyway, you're under no obligation to do that, but it would be remiss of me not to mention it, and that is patreon.com/LucyLucroft. Enough of that waffle, on with the episode. Enjoy. So I was thinking about when we met and you were pregnant.
I was. Yeah, I do. And it feels like it was a lifetime ago, wasn't it? It was the second kid's lifetime ago. But yeah, things change. And then you went and did it too.
I know. What an idiot.
Not at all. Not at all.
So, yeah, we kind of moved in the same circles. Anyhow, we then met when we were both speaking at Traverse, which is a travel blogging conference. I used to work for Traverse and then I did a podcast session there. They never asked me back.
Well, funnily enough, likewise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I interrupted. Go on, carry on.
No, not at all. So that's kind of how we met. And then we've both had two babies.
We have. Gosh.
And the similarities, I suppose, between us and the things I wanted to talk about today is that we both had two babies. We were freelance for a good while before this, and we were moving in the kind of digital nomad space for a long time.
Yeah.
And then we had a baby.
and the brakes go on for everything.
And I really wanted to talk about that because I think you're so eloquent. But first of all,
wow.
Do you want to just tell us who you are?
Sure.
What's happening right now?
Right now I'm sat in my gym jams talking to you, love. But there is a bit more to me than just that. I'm Frankie and I blog, as you mentioned. And I've been blogging, I think, probably for about, 10 years now, because I also used to blog, because we have Shepherd's Bush in common, don't we? And I used to live there and I was a local London blogger about Shepherd's Bush. And so that was way back when, because I started the travel blog in 2011. And then that really has been what I've been doing, plus freelance writing since then. And most of my freelance clients are travel related. So I've actually got most of my work through my blog, which kind of astonishes me a bit these days. But Yeah, so that's roughly what I was doing career-wise until I had kids. My partner's Australian and he and I live in Amsterdam. So yeah, I set up my family life here in Amsterdam away from family elsewhere. So I think, yeah, really what I would love to talk to you about, because I think you're in a kind of similar situation whereby you don't have a family immediately nearby. And that is quite a different dynamic, and it presents its own set of problems, I think. So in terms of what I do now, yeah, I have two little boys, one who's 4 and one who's 16 months. And are we allowed to talk about the current state of affairs in the world right now?
I think we should.
Okay, so yeah, so in Amsterdam here we're on week 3 of what they're calling lockdown light, the calorie-free version, I guess, and we have no school, no daycare, no nothing, and minimal social contact and all the social distancing malarkey. So we're quite isolated, and yeah, that's funnily enough not that different for me, whereas I think a lot of people are finding that difficult because they can't lean on family or other childcare sources. So that's been quite interesting. But I was just getting back to basically kind of a bit more work-life balance. The second kid had just started sleeping through, and I was going to get an extra day of daycare to take me up to 3 days a week. But that's just, yeah, breaks again have gone screeching on. So I find it very interesting that we're going to talk about this. And I messaged you last night, lastminute.com, and said, hey, actually, what are we going to be chatting about? And then I was just thinking about all the different things that we can talk about that are actually helpful for people, of course. So yeah, I think that kind of gives people a rough idea. I should also say, as well as blogging and freelance writing, I'm a fictional author. I'm an author of fiction. That was a great slip up. And I think that is the biggest adjustment in my life. Like before I had babies, I just published 3 books, and basically the brakes have gone on that massively. And so I think that's also metaphorical for a lot of things in terms of, like, what you thought your life would be and what you want your life to be, and how you have to just reassess, readjust, and yeah, switch it up, pivot.
Yeah, so I think being a mum is it's so full of contradictions and like highs and lows and I know it's different for everybody, and I really want to kind of briefly acknowledge our privilege
Massively, yeah.
in that, yes, both of us are in a very similar situation in that we're far away from family and we don't have a lot of childcare and all the rest of it. However, we are both I'm not going to speak to your privilege, but I have a lot of privilege, so.
Yeah, same, absolutely the same. I have huge privilege, that's something that I also am very aware of. And having, just going slightly off on a tangent, having two white, well-off boys, I'm, very conscious of how I manage that with them, because they have even more privilege than me. So it's very. Yeah, the world we live in as well. It's like, as hard as parenting is right now, I don't want to downplay, other people's struggles. And it's how we basically navigate our struggles to also then help others, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, definitely, because privilege doesn't negate struggle. So,
No.
but I really wanted to acknowledge that we have it. But so putting that aside, what has been the hardest thing for you when going into motherhood, what you thought was going to happen? Because when you're pregnant with your first kid, I don't know about you, but I was like, you just have no idea. You have
No.
absolutely no idea what is going to happen on the other
Yeah.
side. And I just sort of thought, I'm freelance, I'll have 9 months off and then I'll go back to work. Maybe I'll do it. And actually, I thought, oh, I'll do it much quicker than everybody else because I'm freelance. So I can just work around the baby while the baby naps.
Yeah. What an utter load of bollocks, isn't it? I mean, oh, it comes with a warning, doesn't it, your podcast? Good, good. I think you've, yeah, that's 100% it. And I love being pregnant. I'm one of these crazy people. I would be pregnant all the time. I just feel so useful when I'm pregnant. Like, I'm constantly doing something extremely fantastic and miraculous, and yet I'm not really doing anything, apart from eating a little bit extra and sleeping a bit more. But so I was really like, oh, this is, I don't think I was like, this is going to be a breeze. I had depression in my early 20s, so I was very aware of possibility of postnatal depression and other things like that. And I was petrified by childbirth. I will be totally honest about that. And I just couldn't get behind any of the whole hypnobirthing malarkey for my first baby. But I did have a positive birth experience. And I went into sort of the baby bubble feeling optimistic. But I have to say, it crashed down on me quite quickly. I think after 2 weeks, I really realised that this was work with a capital W. And there was going to be... it was going to be a very steep learning curve. And I'm not talking about like the nappies and the doing, because you do a lot as a parent, like just the physical doing is quite overwhelming some days. But I really mean the mental side of it. I could not reconcile my new identity as a parent, as a mother, with what the person I was before. And I definitely went through a period of grieving, sort of saying goodbye to my former self. And I think maybe this was also the same for you, I don't really know, but because I work from home, I had complete control over my own schedule as a freelancer before I had kids. I ran every day, not very far, often to the coffee shop for a coffee and a cake, but hey, and I just was completely in control of my life and what I wanted to do. And I traveled a lot for work, and it was just, it was bloody lovely. And then, you know, I became a mum, and I did, I knew things would stop, and I knew, like, yeah, I would be tired, but I don't think I fully appreciated how much of a mental drain there would be on becoming a mum. And a lot of that had to do with, yes, I did develop postnatal depression and anxiety, which was a new thing for me. And that was massively related to sleep deprivation, because my first kid he was just one of those nightmare sleepers that nobody wants and just a lot of people get. And that didn't really sort itself out actually until he was about 18 months. So the first year and a half was just chronic exhaustion and just this kind of, yeah, I went through a grief of who I was. And I'm an incredibly impatient person. And I just, when you are looking after a kid, there is no time to do all the lovely self-care resting things that you're supposed to do in order to get yourself in a better space mentally. So it took a long time. And along with that, I had to, I say, let go of my dreams, I guess. That sounds so overdramatic, but I did have to just move the goalposts, and I couldn't write for 2 hours a day. Like, you know, the book I wanted to publish had to wait. And my blog also changed direction massively, because I was getting all these offers for press trips, but the thought of traveling with a kid, with a baby, was just terrifying, and the thought of traveling not with a baby was equally unsettling. So I pressed pause on a lot of things, and I am hugely privileged that I could do that. My partner's income was enough to pay our rent at the time. And I was able to take at least some time away from work. But then on the flip side, and actually my partner says this a lot, he says, I wonder actually if you had to work, whether that would have given you another focus and whether that would have maybe helped. And I do think there's some truth in that. But then that's just also ignoring the fact I was, you know, I was physically crippled from the sleep deprivation. So the thought of getting up and doing a 9-to-5, I think we would have still got to the same place in terms of me being depressed and, you know, needing help with anxiety. So for me, it is, of course, your life changes, but it's the mental, I think it's a mentally and emotionally, that is what kind of took the rug from under my feet, as opposed to like, just the simple act of not being able to do what you want to do. It's just like your whole mindset has to shift. And it's so interesting when you introduced this that you said contradictions, because I feel like that is, if there's one thing I can say to any mum to be or parent to be, is you have to get ready for a whole life of just constant contradictions. Like, your love for these kids will be so, so deep. And actually, I should also say, I struggled with that in the beginning. My connection with my first kid wasn't very strong in the beginning, and that was hugely heartbreaking. But, you know, your love for your kids is unconditional in an ideal world, yada, yada, yada. but your enjoyment of parenting is not. And sometimes parenting sucks. It's a shitty job. Sorry, but I have days where I would rather do anything but like pick up more crap after my kids, wipe tables, clean up the kitchen, Hoover 7 times a day. There is just, it's not glamorous. Yeah.
I really relate, actually. As you were talking, I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what more I can add to it apart from that I had a very similar experience, but not with my second, not with my first. So I loved pregnancy. It gave me a purpose as well. I loved how I had Anais and she was an amazing sleeper. She was a very, very easy baby.
Now I know why you had your second so early.
Exactly. She was so easy. Wow. I released this podcast when I was planning it while I was pregnant. I went back to work after like 3 months and I didn't have childcare. I was just recording while breastfeeding. I just put her down and she'd chill out on the floor. It was so rare that she would really cry. And I thought I was exhausted when she was getting up 2 times a night at 3 months old. She's sleeping through by 6 months. If anyone wants to punch me, don't worry, it's coming.
Did you have any mum friends at this time? I mean, I'm joking. it's still exhausting. But it is still exhausting. Like, I think, you know, I have friends who have had babies like this and they're still knackered and I don't want to discredit anybody who has so-called easy baby. But I just, if anything, stories like this gave me hope for my second.
Although I'm going to do the opposite because my second, I would say having a second baby, there's just so many contradictions. I have found it a lot harder because she doesn't sleep during the day.
Yeah, you have my full sympathy with that. Yeah.
And I can't do anything. So I've had to learn to surrender. So yeah. I would say I just had to go, okay, I'm not going to go back to work for at least a year. And I had to just really come to terms with that. And I am so lucky that I, up until now, up until this shit show coronavirus, haven't had to. Now I'm going to have to go back to work. But
yeah, yeah.
How have you found going into the second? Because I know your experience is different to mine.
Mm-hmm. So mine was almost the opposite. I had, so we had a lot of things happening and I've written up my birth story. Actually, it's on my blog if anybody has a couple of hours and a cup of tea, or a pot of tea rather, because we had external complications. My partner was quite sick in the kind of immediate run up to my second baby's birth. And so long story short, well, actually, let's just go back a bit further. So following my number one kiddo, I had quite a lot of therapy and help with kind of coming to terms with what happened and just sort of preparing myself for number two. Because number two, I was very much like, I feel complete. I feel my family's complete. But I feel like I would like to at least try. And so that not only involved it also involved the getting mentally ready in myself. So I did quite a bit of therapy specifically dealing with the postnatal depression, because I still attached a hell of a lot of guilt, a hell of a lot of shame. And I also put a lot of this on my kid, which, yeah, that's quite heavy. So I had to work through that. And actually, that was arguably the best thing I could have done. And it was basically like training for the whole period of time that was so hard for me, which was the birth and, well, not the birth, but the immediate aftermath after the birth, and also the first sort of 6-7 months, because I was very much like with my first, oh, this is so hard, this is normal, all parents have sleep deprivation, I've just got to crack on with it. And obviously when you do that, you then just make matters a lot worse for yourself. But I prepared massively for that, and I practiced accepting help and all this crap that I'm just really not very good at, and it worked. And then even when we got this you know, complete sideball come in, which was my partner getting very sick. And actually, he was blue lighted to hospital 3 days before my due date with a hemorrhage. And so we had this horrible time where it looked like I was going to have to give birth without him. And luckily, my babies go always late. So it was okay. And we were both in a place where it was a really positive, lovely water birth in the hospital with a doula and hands off Dutch birthing style. It was all very lovely. But and then the postnatal period, honestly, it was a dream. And that was hugely thanks to number two being, I wouldn't say a good sleeper, I would say an average sleeper, which after my first was like a godsend. You know, I could basically, as long as I held him, he slept. And I was in a place in my life where that's all I wanted to do too. And so I did. And again, massively lucky that financially I didn't have to go back to work after 3 months or even earlier. And we just had a really lovely time just being in that bubble, which is what I missed in my first. So that was very soothing and therapeutic. And then the 4 month sleep regression hit. And we're just coming out of it now, a year later. So and it is so true that when the sleep is, you know, when the sleep is not there, everything is hard. No matter how easy other things are, it is still hard. And we also moved house in the summer. So when he was about 6-7 months. And so I would say all the work I did paid off. But unfortunately, when you're just on the treadmill of looking after two kids, working part time and doing other life stuff like moving house, etc., you would just get run down. And I feel like, yeah, I probably should have gone back to therapy sooner, but I didn't make it a priority and all this kind of stuff. So I would say number two has been both a dream experience, but also, yeah, still a real challenge. And he's 16 months, and 2 nights ago he climbed out of his cot. So yeah, so we now have a 16 month old in a toddler bed, which I mean, you know, those 3 weeks of him sleeping through were lovely. So the challenges just don't stop. And I think that's another mindset shift. And I feel like before kids, I was so good at, like, if I was going through a down period, like you said, depression is not, it's not a, okay, you have depression, then it stops, like a broken leg, it doesn't heal and then stop, it's always there. And so if I had bad bouts or low moods, I would be able to take time away to myself and recover. And that is the mindset shift now with kids. It's figuring out how to do all the stuff you need to do alongside it. And just, I guess, realigning your goals and priorities accordingly.
Yeah, because I think that working on yourself and somehow managing to do it while being a parent, it is so hard. So hard because you feel ultimate guilt. Well, I don't want to speak this on anyone else, but I feel ultimate guilt, or I did until fairly recently when I was like, actually, my kids, I'm going to absolutely fuck up my kids if I don't put
That's it. I think it was on a podcast with Zoe from Motherkind, her podcast, where they said and I forget who actually said this, but it was somebody who's researched the shit out of this. And they basically said the greatest gift you can give your kids is your own happiness. And oh my God, that is just perfect. But it is so much easier said than done. And I feel like that is due to a lot of other external influences. And just like we weren't, as much as I love this about our generation, and certainly my mum, you know, she didn't raise me to become a mum. She raised me to become an independent, career focused, or at least, you know, financially independent woman, self-sufficient and self-providing. And unfortunately, the world hasn't quite caught up with that mindset in terms of certainly in many countries. There are probably, the scandos are probably doing it right, aren't they? But I certainly find that having that kind of upbringing, which was just the best and enabled me to try so many different things, take risks and just have a general loving sense of confidence in myself. But then when you then have to like turn that towards other people, if you've never done that before in your life, that's massive and that's hard. Yeah, and I'm just, like I said, I don't enjoy a lot of the parts of parenting. And that doesn't mean I don't enjoy my kids. It doesn't mean I don't love my kids. God, it just means I'm not creatively fulfilled. That is, again, another privileged thing to worry about. But I feel like that's what I encourage in my kids, right? I encourage them to do things, to play, to be creative. And we can't just then not encourage that in ourselves. I don't know. I don't know how to match that up, but that's definitely something I struggle with too.
Same. Yeah. I think it's that like juxtaposition, isn't it? Of like you trying to be fulfilled whilst also fulfilling your children. Like, and there's that bit in the middle where you're like, oh, is anyone fulfilled?
Yeah, right.
Right now? Right. Is anyone happy?
Nah.
I don't know. So to speak practically as well, how have you found any positive shifts? Because I definitely have, from pre-motherhood to now. Mm. I mean, I would say that my career has completely changed from pre to now. I was almost 100% freelance writing and doing journalism before. Mm. And then now I make a lot more of my income and I'm a lot more confident doing it. And I'm by selling myself more. Mm. So I would say, and that confidence has come from having kids for me.
Wonderful.
Which is completely not what I expected. I definitely feel a lot more, a lot more confident in myself.
Yeah. And that's, and I've heard that from other people too, both friends and other, you know, online personalities. I can't honestly say that it's been the same for me, because I feel like one of the biggest things that creatively fulfilled me, i.e. writing fiction, is just not, I just can't marry it with my current lifestyle. And I think I am at peace with that, because it's just something that involves a heck of a lot of uninterrupted time. And that's just that is the one commodity I just don't have right now, especially now. But I am at peace with that somewhat. And I remember after I had my first son, I met a slightly crunchy mum. She was very lovely, but she was, you know, really basically, I mean, she gave me one quote that I still use today. And she said to me, I'm not going to be spending my spare time pureeing baby food. I'm going to sit down and write poetry. And but she was like, oh, you know, becoming a mother has opened up this whole new creative side to me. I think she compared it to like a flower blossoming or something like that. But and I just I loved that, but I just couldn't relate. And definitely after my first kid, I felt like a lot of that shut down. And I think I did that self-preservation wise, i.e. you're a mum now, you don't need that, you've got your kid, blah, blah, blah. But again, that's putting a hell of a lot of pressure on my kid. So I have been a bit more conscious to kind of open up more. And I had started doing challenges like 100-day challenge, and I got back to doing NaNoWriMo. And so I get that, and I love that mums get this kind of creative energy from becoming a parent, but I can't honestly say that it's happened to me. The one thing I will say is that I just think motherhood in general makes you so much more focused, so much more productive and selective with how you spend your time. And I definitely now, like, if you give me 2 hours, I can do probably what would have taken me a week before I had kids, just because I am just that more like tuned in to just getting on with it and getting shit done. I feel like my career, so up until like this crisis, I was I blogged for fun for a long time, made a little bit of money, went on nice press trips, but then about two three years ago I made the decision to make it profitable so that I could kind of stop the freelance work, and that would also give me more flexibility with the kids, yada yada yada. And I was going guns blazing, and I was doing really well until this crisis hit, and also another Google update last year. And that actually made me stop and rethink my plan, if you could call it that. And I kind of said, no, I need to keep up freelance work. And so I would say, even though I creatively, in terms of writing books and writing poetry rather than pureeing baby food, I feel like, yes, I've got more energy from becoming a mum, but I maybe haven't got enough clarity, and I definitely don't have enough balance in terms of like figuring out, like, I don't know how to creatively satisfy myself without, yeah, having those hours and hours of time to write fiction. Poetry actually helps. Like, I did a 100-day challenge 2 years ago where I wrote, 2 or 3 years ago, where I wrote 100 poems in 100 days. And I think I will do something similar now. But I also do the affirmations, and that is definitely something that has, that, okay, I'm going to scrap everything I've just said and say, yeah, okay, I have that to thank for my affirmations. I have parenthood and motherhood to thank for that, because that was a real shift in terms of finding something that was in my heart that I could still do with kids. Because you know how just you have those random silly thoughts, and I just kind of basically would have them like, what if you thought this about yourself, Frankie? How would that like help you? And that's kind of roughly where I get my affirmations from. And now I do that actively, like I'm actively trying to think of positive spins on stuff. Not all the time, not when I'm on my period, just disclaimer there. Everything is shit when I'm on my period. But when I'm not, like I am, I definitely feel like, okay, yeah, I feel like I have got more creative about being creative, if that makes sense.
yeah, it does. I think you have to give kind of, you learn shortcuts to creativity.
That's it.
Almost. Yeah, and your affirmations, let's talk about your affirmations, because the thing I've got a pack and they're amazing. And the thing I really love about them is that if you're the sort of person like me who doesn't believe in manifestation or mindset stuff, or isn't...
Well, that's something for the hugely privileged. I mean, jeepers creepers. It's not mindset. It's like, it's how and where you're born, love. Like, you know.
It's white privilege.
Absolutely, yeah. Maybe she's born with it. No, maybe it's privilege.
But if you're that sort of person, then affirmations probably...
They're hippy-dippy bullshit, aren't they?
Yeah, but there is something about... so the Yes Mum cards, Holly DeCruz is just the best. And so I use those in pregnancy. I've got breastfeeding set and also the Yes Mum mini cards for Anais. And she now says, she'll be walking up the stairs and she's like, oh, this is hard. And then she's like, I can do hard things.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
It makes my heart I just love it. And your cards are brilliant. So talk to us about your Right Now cards, because that's like not-for-profit creative endeavour, isn't it?
It is. And it's I have to give credit to Holly and also to Alex L, who is a brilliant self-love journaling affirmation. she's not really a blogger. She's on Instagram and she writes books and poetry and prose. I have to give credit to them. I discovered both of them when I was experiencing postnatal depression and anxiety, amongst various other things on Instagram and online. And I just realized how much of what was happening with me was just negative self-talk, and how I have the option for positive self-talk. And weirdly, a couple of years ago, I wrote a short story about a slightly odd woman that another woman met on the night bus, the 94 night bus, no less, which was one that went to Shepherd's Bush. And in it, this old woman basically encourages this younger woman to talk to herself, because, you know, that is the most important relationship you can have. So I think this is this concept of kind of positive self-talk, or at least just having an open and honest communication with yourself, has been bubbling in my psyche for some time. And affirmation, I always put, yeah, that was with crystals and tarot cards in a box over there that I just don't touch because I don't get it. And I'm not saying that's there's no value in those things, but it's just not something that has appealed to me. But when I started to see like the Yes Mum cards and Alex L, who does brilliant affirmations, I realized, oh, these are actually talking to me. And it's not that they made me feel better. It's that they made me stop, just full stop. And I would like just kind of, it was like a glass of nice cold water on a hot day, or like just taking an extra deep breath. And it just gave me pause. And I just figured out that there might be something in there for me. And it doesn't cure depression. It doesn't solve anxiety. But it can be a weapon, like in your toolbox, I suppose, that you use and you try. And the beauty of affirmation is that it costs nothing. It's very easy to do, albeit you might feel uncomfortable and a bit stupid doing it. And it's very quick. It's not something you have to prepare for. You can do it when you're wiping a four-year-old's bottom. You know, it's, I mean, I don't necessarily recommend doing it in that moment, but you might need to. I mean, it's the, my little kids get a bit savage. But anyway, I was really keen at that stage in, with postnatal depression, maybe about 18 months, 2 years after my first kid's birth. And I was really wanting to get back into writing. And I just think in general, writers struggle, all creatives do, but writers can struggle massively with self-doubt and fear and kind of that paralysis that those things bring to you. And I just thought, I think there's something in here for writers. So I just started writing my own affirmations to try and get myself back into writing. And then I just turned them into a pack of cards. And I sell them. They're actually on hiatus at the moment, and this is kind of very timely. And I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't talk to Lucy right now because all my projects are on pause, but I just have to pause something right now, because about 4 or 5 months ago, before we kind of solved the sleep problem with my second kid, I was falling into depression and anxiety again, and actually a bit longer ago. So I had to stop a few things. I took an Instagram break, and just I had that, and I feel like that is like, we don't talk enough about how important and valuable that can be. So I did that, and right now cards, I still have, that's the name of the cards, by the way. I'm so good at marketing myself. I've talked about this for about 5 minutes and still haven't mentioned the name. But anyway, right now cards.
I said it when I was like,
God bless you. Thank you. So I'm that's on pause now, but the goal with that project is to have more products and to be a non-profit. I don't make any money off it. I'm still a lot of money down from just creating them. And I will be creating basically packs, I hope. This is the plan, this is the idea, for kids that don't necessarily have access to a lot of writing materials, or perhaps aren't encouraged to try writing or reading. And I will be, yeah, making those packs available to people for free. So that's the plan. It's very sketchy, as you can probably tell, but I don't want to make money off this. This is not something that is, that's not my motivation here. If I help one person write the first draft of a novel, or if I help one person commit to a writing schedule that sticks, that is enough, because I know how much joy that will bring someone.
Oh, I love that. That's such a lovely, lovely creative project that's come out of motherhood for you then, hasn't it?
Oh, I suppose it has. God, now you, oh, that's given me goosebumps. I've honestly not thought about it like that. And it was just something I just felt, and I feel rotten that it's on pause right now, because I know it could be helping people, but I know that consistency is key with these things, and I just can't be consistent with everything right now. So but yeah, they're there, and I have packs, so if people want some, they can message me, and I have a few that I can ship out. I'd be happy to do that. And I want to also do an online version, so maybe like a website that people can go to and just click a button and a new one will come up. I've got lots of ideas, because I want to make it free, you know. At the end of the day, that is like I said, there's no, I've got no money making, you know, schemes with this. I just want to help people write, because it brings me so much joy. And I think that, I want other people to have that.
Gorgeous. I love that. But I want to also just ask, do you have any other brilliant practical tips?
Oh gosh. Practical tips. practical tips. I don't know. Let me think. What was I actually thinking about? The one thing we haven't touched on, which I have only really recently discovered, is personalities. Sometimes your personality and your kids' personalities don't match. Was something, I mean, I think you could probably talk about this with an expert, but this is something that when I read this, I was like, oh. And it really was like, and also, of course, the whole time we've been talking about babies and kids, we're talking about neurotypical kids. So then you have like other, you know, additional complexities and considerations. And I feel like my first kid, especially, he has such a strong personality, and it clashes massively with my partner. And I, until like 6 months ago, I was like, oh my God, my partner's discipline isn't working with this. This is not the way it should be, yada, yada, yada. But actually, I've now seen it very differently. You know, framing is everything with these things. And like, I honestly, for creativity as well as parenting and just life, curiosity is one of the best things you can carry around with you for any stressful or unusual or complicated situation. And so I'd as my kids get older, I'm really very mindful of that now. And just, you know, it's introvert and extrovert as well, isn't it? And I'm an introvert. So if I spend 12 hours like nonstop with my two kids, by the end of it, I'm exhausted because I need that time alone to recharge. So I just think be curious about your own self and who you are and how that potentially presents challenges as being a parent. And that for me, it's not so much like, okay, the answer is still the same. I still need time on my own. I still need self-care. I still need rest. But I now don't blame myself as much, like in terms of, you know, oh, you're your mum. You have to do everything. You're their mum. You have to do everything perfectly. And it's not that, it's never that simple. Never, ever, ever.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. Stay curious because, curiosity can lead you to the why as opposed to like a solution.
I relate.
I really relate to having people around. I mean, lockdown is kind of my dream in many ways, but it's also like, oh my God, everybody leave me alone.
Yes, I know. And I'm finding it quite intense, like, online now, because everybody's got an opinion, everybody's got a strategy, and I've actually had some really shitty DMs because I was taking my kids outside and things like that, and I understand that comes from a place of like genuine concern and fear, but I'm just trying to do, you know, there's just been a lot of passive aggressive judgment. And so I find you're very good on Instagram, Lucy, I have to say, because I really find Instagram quite hard now. You got to just, yes, but it's curiosity is, I'm trying to be curious about that in itself.
I think there was a lot of shaming on Instagram, and I definitely joined in on that, to be honest, until I was like, hang on a moment, let's stop shaming each other, because that doesn't help. Like, that's not a good reaction to this. But it's all come from fear, hasn't it?
Yeah, hugely. Yeah, and I think that, yeah, that's a lot of like the issues we have right now with other things. It's like we're too busy looking for the fault and the wrong and the this is how we fix it, and actually we're just not, let's observe more. Like, also a good tip in parenting, observe your kids, just watch them. My four-year-old loves that. He loves an audience. So if you're really, really knackered, just sit down and ask them to put on a show.
To be honest, Anais is quite similar.
Oh, she's the dancing queen. That's my name for her.
Oh, she really is. But she started saying to me, if she catches me filming her, she's like, no. So I've realised. Yeah. That was really the start of when I decided to take their faces, like only close friends can see.
Yeah, I don't do my eldest kid, and I don't do my youngest kid as much as I did my eldest kid when he was this age. I'm definitely, that's something I've trying to stay curious with, because there is something unsettling, isn't there, about you know, sharenting, that's the word, isn't it?
Sharenting, I've never heard of that. That's interesting. Sharenting. I definitely do that, but
it's a balance. It's because I feel like we don't talk about this stuff, and that's why I probably talk too much about the negative, and I need to talk about the positive. But I found when I became a mum, there was just, and it was a lot to do with who I followed massively, but I just found there was such a void of talking about the hard parts alongside the good parts. So yeah, it's all a contradiction. We're straight back to how you introduced this.
It's going to be the theme, isn't it?
Massively.
Thank you so, so much for your time. It was so lovely to have a chat with you. To wrap up, where can everybody find you?
You can find me, my blog is asthebirdfliesblog.com, and I'm asthebirdfliesblog on Instagram. Right now cards is obviously the word write, as in writing. And my books are on Amazon, so just look up Frances M. Thompson and hopefully you'll see. There is also a Frances M. Thompson writing maths textbooks. You might need that now, but it's not me.
I'll link everything in the show notes as well.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Thanks, Lucy. Take care. This was very therapeutic. Thank you.
Should we say bye?
Bye.
Bye.